Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to our 9:30 service. Yay. You know, I want to start with a few celebrations. I want to start out with just saying thank you, God, for the parking lot. Pastor Tim did that last week, but how cool does it look, right? It's awesome. I also want to share this. Before, you know, we'd been waiting for like a year plus for APS to get back with us on the electrical, but I don't know, a week before we laid the parking lot, they got in touch with us, and they were able to lay all the conduit the Monday that we were laying this on Thursday and say, I mean, God just works, right? So yay, God. Yay, God, for all the people he's bringing back to this church in person and online. It's amazing. We're going to three services today. Yay, God. I mean, and it's full. Yeah, I hope somebody comes next service. But anyway, yay, right? So this is good. And just one last yay. I want to just thank God for Medge, Mike Edge, and for Tim the last several weeks. They've been crushing it. It is so fun for me to just get a chance to listen to hear what God's going to share with me on a Sunday, right? It's so fun, and these guys were just crushing it. I especially loved Tim's a couple weeks ago where he was just talking about objective truth, the truth outside of us, right? And we're going to get to a little bit of that, talk a little bit more about that today. So it's just fun for me. And so having said all the celebrations, I want to get back to God's word a little bit. We're in the middle of this series called Can You Hear Me Now? And I'll tell you, one of the biggest questions that I've gotten in the ministry, and this was absolutely true when I was doing youth ministry, absolutely true when I was doing young adult ministry. This is absolutely true the last 20 plus years here, or seventh, I don't know, a long time here that I've been doing ministry. People will start reading God's word. They'll start studying God's word because, you know, we encourage it here a lot to be in the word. And they'll inevitably come to me at some point and they'll say, you know, Pastor, you keep saying that God speaks to us in his word. What does that look like? I mean, I have youth coming to me in almost frantic. I don't hear God talking to me when I'm in his word. I've had 20-somethings. I don't hear God talking to me when I'm reading his word. I've had adults say the same thing. I feel like I'm missing God here, and I'm in his word always. I just can't seem to figure out how to hear his voice. So I want to talk to you a little bit about what it means to hear God's voice, what it looks like, because I think there's a ton of confusion out there. And one of the first things I wanted to say is it's not something mystical, right? It's not something rare and that never happens. It happens literally all the time. And so I just want to start with that point, because God speaks to us all the time. It's really about paying attention, it's about opening up our ears. A number of years ago, for instance, there was a Time magazine article that had this headline on it: God is dead. And what was funny, if you guys remember Billy Graham, a famous preacher, huge in a lot of our times. Anyway, a bunch of reporters lined up at his house the next day, and they said, "Is it true, Dr. Graham? Is it true? Is God dead?" And he said, no, I just talked to him. What are you talking about, right? And so God talks all the time. And so the cool part is that not only does God want to talk to us, but he also wants us to talk to him. You see, he wants to have a relationship with us. That's what this is all built on. He wants to talk to us. He wants us to talk to him, and he wants to develop this relationship, showing how much he cares and loves you, is interested in our life, and all those different things. And so not only is that cool, he actually created us with this ability to tune into him, to listen to him, to hear him, to talk back to him. It's not unusual. We can all do it. In fact, in Job 33, verse 14, it says this. This is one of Job's friends talking to Job, trying to remind him of stuff. God does speak, sometimes one way and sometimes another, and even though people may not understand it. See, one of the things that Job's friend was trying to get across is, hey, God's probably been shouting to you in your pain. He didn't know the whole story, right? You've just been missing it. You've been not listening to him. You've been avoiding him. That's all the accusations he would lob on Job, none of which were true. But he was just sure that Job had just somehow, I don't know, stiff-arming God and wasn't allowing God's voice to come anywhere near him. But I think that's not so uncommon in our culture today, is it? I don't think it's the problem that God isn't talking to us. I think the problem is that our perception gets a little wonky. I think sometimes we're just tuned out. You know, we get busy with life. I mean, school just started. How many guys got kids? And the cool part is I got back to my normal schedule. I finally got back to the gym. They were like, oh, hi, Mr. Sheldon. First time? No. I mean, I was so glad to get back. But the reality is I finally got back to my normal schedule, but it's crazy. I mean, we are a taxi service for our kids. Sometimes we get so busy, we just stop listening. Sometimes we get so overcome by some of the stuff going on in our society that we get fearful and we stop listening, or we get kind of conned into believing some of the stuff that's going on, the lies that are in our culture, and we stop hearing. It's not that God stops talking to us. He's communicating with us all the time. It's just sometimes we just get tuned out. But here's the thing about God. He wants to communicate with you. Because you can't have a relationship with him without communication, without that two-way communication. And he desperately wants to have a relationship with you. Why? Because he created you to love you. And he wants to spend eternity with you. And so he's going to keep talking with you until you get there because he loves you that much. So as it goes through stuff like this, though, one of the big questions is this, though. How does God talk to us? I mean, you keep saying it, Pastor, how does he do it as we go through? And as you look at Scripture, there's actually a lot of different ways. You know, that's what we're doing this series on it, talking about the different ways that God actually talks to us as we go through life. As you go through the Bible, though, sometimes we get confused. We see these sensational ways, and we start thinking that those are the vogue ways. Those are the normal ways that he does it. I mean, you go through Scripture, you see that God spoke once through a burning bush. That would get your attention. He spoke one time through a cloud. He spoke often through angels. He spoke one time through a pillar of fire. He even spoke to this guy Balaam through a donkey. That would have freaked me out, right? But the reality is that he continued to get his message to his prophets so that they could hear, understand, and then go share it with everybody else. But to kind of narrow that down this morning, I'm going to give you the four most common ways that God speaks to us today. And I'm just going to give you the first one, and I'm making up these percentages, but I think about 90% of the time he uses the first one that I'm going to give you. Then about 9% of the time he uses the second one I'm going to give you. And the last two kind of make up the last 1%, but he uses all these different ways in our life today. But I want to go through them so that you get how it is that God's trying to communicate with you right now in your world. One of the first ways, and you've heard it before, but God speaks to us through his word, right? Through the Bible. Obviously, this is by far the number one way that God speaks to us today. In 2 Timothy 3:16, this is Paul writing Timothy, and it says this, "The whole Bible was given to us by inspiration from God and is useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what's wrong in our life." Why is that so significant? Because one of the ways to peace and healing and hope and strength and all that kind of stuff is repenting of the stuff that's bogging you down, complicating your life, your sin, repenting of your sin and getting rid of it so that he can strengthen you and give you peace and hope moving forward. And he continually does this in our life, trying to get us back on the right path. How many of you guys are parents? How many of you guys want good things for your kids? You give them laws, right? You give them rules in the house. If you follow these, less bad things will happen to you. You don't give them rules unless you made them call, you know, your majesty or something like that. You didn't give them rules to glorify yourself. You gave them rules to protect them because you love them. When they don't do it, it grieves you. It hurts your heart. It makes you mad. But the reality is it complicates their life something fierce. And you're trying to protect them from that. So God is speaking and sharing with us all these things. And he goes on, it is God's way of making us well prepared at every point. Notice it say God's way of talking to us first is through his word, through the Bible. So the Bible is not just a good collection of stories, a wonderful thoughts, ideas of men, a nicely inspired, you know, collection of words, but word inspired literally means in the Greek, God breathed. God shared it with us personally. That means that the Bible is absolutely reliable, that there's no other book in history that's been like it, no other book in history that can make this claim. And so as such, it's something that can be counted on as we go through life. Look, in our world today, there's this postmodern thought that there is no truth. But God says there is a truth. One of the things I loved about Tim's sermon a couple weeks ago is he talked about this external truth from us. The world used to get that. We said, this is true, and what I'm thinking isn't, so I'm going to amend my life to this external truth. God's word is that external truth. It is the only absolute truth in our world. And either you can build your life on it and allow that to give you perspective to look at the rest of the mess that we live in, or you can abandon that truth and be swept up with the world. He's saying, trust me as you go through this. So it can be counted on. It will guide you. It will correct you. It will comfort you. It will help you. But if you don't ever read it, if you don't ever get into it, how can God talk to you on a regular basis? And I think that's the struggle of Christians in our world today. We are so busy. We are so preoccupied. We hate reading. But that's the way God speaks to us most of the time. So this is why it's so important, and I'm just going to say this, to have a daily quiet time with God, spending 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes, the time really doesn't matter, but getting in his word where you're talking to him, pouring out your heart, and where you're allowing him to talk to you from the pages of Scripture. And this is the kind of stuff that God shares, right? He reminds you of his promises. Why are they important? Because they give us hope. They give us forgiveness. They give us strength. They give us peace. They give us this reality that we're not alone. They comfort us. They support us. They are all the things that God is screaming out in his scriptures, trying to inject into our lives. And we are the most amazing forgetters in the world. And so we need to be constantly in that so we can constantly have him share with us anew that he's got us as we're going through this life. He shares with us what's right and what's wrong, what's true and what's not. That should be our guide as we're going through life. If you want to avoid pain, stop doing the dumb stuff. Stop doing the sinful stuff. Stop doing the stuff that he tells you not to do. If you want more blessing in your life, do more of this stuff. He continually is talking to us through the words of Scripture. My sophomore year, I went through the Bible for the first time in my whole life. And one of my takeaways after finishing it is that God's really serious about the sin stuff. You can't go through the Old Testament and not get that. He's really serious about the sin stuff. And here's the second thing I got. God wins. Through Jesus Christ, he not only forgave me, but he wins. And one day he'll make everything right. So you let God talk to you through his word, remind you, convict you, strengthen you, comfort you, all those different things. And if you're not doing that on a daily basis, you're missing the number one way that God wants to speak with you in this world today. So inevitably, somebody will come up to me and say, God never talks to me. And one of the first questions I'll ask them is, are you in the word on a regular basis? Are you in the word every day? And they always say no. They're missing out on that number one way that God speaks. It's kind of like having a gym membership but never going. I don't know if we hope by osmosis we're just going to grow our muscles, or by osmosis our blood cholesterol level is going to go down because we pretended we ran or whatever. But you got to actually go to the gym. You got to put yourself in the presence of God to hear his voice. So, Los Angeles Times a few years ago was sharing a story about somebody who's saying, I can't get to the point where I can just believe that God has said what he said. I can't get to the point where I can just feel like he's leading my life. And then somebody in the article, he just responded, and he just said, you know, the Bible's all about just this. God loves you, and he wants you in heaven with him one day. He sent you Jesus so that you could get there. He's given you his truth to help support you and guide you as you go through life. But if you blow him off, it's really hard to feel his presence. It's really hard to feel like he's there at all. You've got to trust him. Think about getting married to somebody. Do you want to trust that when they say I do, they mean it? Yeah. Yeah, you're committing your life to them. You need to know that they're all in. And as God's walking through this life with you, he just wants to know that you're all in. And the more in you get, the more he can talk to you. A couple years ago, I bought a new car, and in the glove compartment was this thing called the owner's manual. And what's cool about the owner's manual is it tells you the exact way you're supposed to treat your car. And if you treat your car exactly the way they tell you, it should last longer. It should help you put less stress on that car. It should help it go longer and longer and longer, as opposed to not doing it the way they say at all, right? I think that's a true or a parallel for our life. Scripture is God's owner's manual to us. And the more we try to abide by it, listen, trust that what God is saying is right and true and helpful for our lives, the more we try to live our lives accordingly, the more blessed we are as we're going through this crazy life. So it's one of the first ways. It's the biggest way that God speaks with us. What's the other one? I'll call it the 9%er. God speaks to us through gifted teachers. Example. Have you ever been in a church service and you felt like God was talking just to you? Nobody else mattered. You just felt like somehow pastor had a window into your life that week, into your mind that week, knew exactly what you were struggling with, and he was sharing stuff from the Bible that was exactly, it felt like God was talking to you in that moment. Been at a Bible study, same thing. Been in a devotion, felt the same thing. Here, I'm here to tell you, that is God speaking with you. That's why I keep saying when that stuff happens to you, write that down and then ponder it through the day and then ponder it through the week and ponder it through the month until you figure out what it is that God's trying to share. Sometimes he's just pretty clear. I gotcha. And it should give you peace. You're going the wrong way. It should create anxiety, right? You should turn from that. You're forgiven. You can let the past pass. Whatever the message is, you cling on to that message. You write it down. You underline it. You circle it, whatever. And you keep that message dear to you because it's exactly the message that God is trying to share with you in that moment. In 1 Thessalonians 2:13, it says, when we preached to you, you didn't think of the word as being just our own, but you accepted it as the very word of God. Of course it was, and it changed your lives. See, God speaks through teachers and preachers all the time when they use God's word. Pastor was sharing a story one time about his youth, and he was sharing a time when he was at this little tiny church, and he was sitting in the back row with his girlfriend, and he's saying, "I wasn't listening at all to the preacher." I was very concerned about who was sitting next to me, but I wasn't listening at all to the preacher. Until the very end of the sermon, and something, I don't know, something made me look up. And this is what I heard when I looked up. He says, "What are you going to do with your life? Are you going to make it count, or are you going to just waste it? You'll never be happy until you do with your life what God made you to do, and until you be with your life what God made you to be." And he said, bam, hit him right between the eyes, right on the forehead. And his life was never the same. God did something to him in that moment, and it changed everything for him. He says, "I don't even know how God does that. I wasn't paying attention at all until that last bit, and God changed my life as a result." He used this teacher, this preacher, or whatever, and it was said it was the turning point of his life, that one simple message. God spoke to me through that guy in a way that I could have never imagined in any other way. And I'll just tell you this, if you had told me 35 years ago that I would be pastoring a church, I would have thought you were crazy. I mean, I had a very promising career as a banker. That's what I wanted to do. I want to be Alex P. Keaton, right? I had a job offer. Well, job offer. Anyway, but you know, the reality is that's what I wanted to do with my life. If you had told me I was going to be pastor of your church, I thought you were crazy. It wasn't even on my top 100 list. It was not even in my mind at all. And I think back to that moment, and it's just kind of funny the way God worked. But I often think, what if I wasn't paying attention to what God was saying during that time of my life? What if I wasn't tuned in? What if I didn't want to do what he did, and I didn't, and God continued to speak with me until I did want to do what he did wanted me to do? But what if I just wasn't tuned in? I would have missed out on the last 30-plus years of what God's doing in people's life. I could sit down with you. I could share miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle of what I've seen him do in people's lives. It's extraordinary, his power. It's extraordinary, his patience sometimes. It's extraordinary how much he loves us. And I would have missed all of that. God speaks to us through teachers that use his word so that he can convey things to us when we're not reading, when we're not in tune. I'll tell you, one of my things is when I'm on vacation, we could be driving through a small town or whatever, and I want to find a church or something so I can hear a sermon that day. Or now I can listen online, which I love, right? But why do I want to do that? Because I'm convinced that every time I get to listen to a message, that God prepared it just for me. And then he wants to share something with me that day. And I don't want to miss it. Because what if he had that preacher prepare a sermon just for me? And I blew it off. I would miss out on that opportunity to again hear that God's got me, that he's there for me, that I need to turn from my sin, or whatever the deal is, you know, going on in my life at that moment. I'll give you the last 1%. And these are two that you'll recognize a lot, but they don't happen that often. God speaks through impressions. Another word for that could be feelings, but impressions. I've had about, I get a bunch of them, but I know for sure that I've had two solid things as if God's been speaking to me right to my face in my life. I don't think they happen all the time, but I know he uses them frequently. As a result of the fact of equating it with feelings, impressions, there's a lot of confusion about this today when we receive impressions from God. Actually, next week, we're going to spend a lot of time on this. I'm going to talk to you and look at how do you receive an impression from God and then how to test it, because that's the big part of this, testing to make sure it's from God. So how do you evaluate, figure out if it's really from God or that burrito you had the night before, that kind of thing. But just in short, I'm going to give you two extremes that you want to avoid. Those extremes are being the rationalist and the mystic. The rationalist denies that God ever speaks to us through the mind. He says God only speaks through the Bible, and he never speaks any other way. And if you're going to fault on one of these sides, right, this is the one to fault with. This is what Martin Luther would say. He'd say, "Don't give me any visions, God. Don't give me any dreams. I just want to be with the Word." And if you're there, that's okay, okay? But I just think you miss out on a lot of things that God wants to share with you as you go through them. The other one is being a mystic. And a mystic thinks that every impression that they get from God is from God, right? Or every impression that they get is from God. So they just automatically think if they feel it, it must be the gospel truth. And that's obviously wrong as well, because feelings lie. The reality is I feel sorry for both extremes as people go through life. The rationalist who thinks that God never gives him an idea misses out on God's counsel and God's comfort and God's care and God's concern and God's challenges and the guidance that he has for them as they go through life. They miss that. On the other hand, the mystic who thinks that every impression is from God ends up making a lot of really dumb choices as they go through life. They get themselves in a lot of sinful situations and they experience a lot of consequence for their life, and it's painful and it's harder and it's more destructive and it's foolish. They say, God told me to do this, and they go bankrupt. Why? Turns out it wasn't from God, right? Both extremes are wrong. You look at some of the TV people out there today, getting all these impressions and coming up with these weird thoughts, and you get skeptical, absolutely. You hear these people say, if there's anybody in this room, or he said, no, they say this, there's somebody in this room that I'm convinced God has told to give me $1 million today. I actually like that one. My name's Mike Sheldon. Go ahead and write the check. But the reality is, even if a pastor like me says that, or any other crackpot, it doesn't mean it's from God. So here's the deal. And let me give you this warning. Always test an impression. Always test an impression. Never make a decision on an impression alone. You need to test that impression. And here's the thing. It always has to match what the Bible says. God will never give you an impression that is opposite of what he's told you already in his word. I guarantee you, if he does, it's not from him. God never contradicts what he's already said. He's not going to give you an impression contrary to what he's already shared. And so I'll give you an example of that, and I've shared it before, but I was first year in ministry, and a guy wanted to join the church. And he came to me, and I was talking with him and his girlfriend, and said, we'd like to join, and he shared this. Pastor, I'm convinced that God has told me to leave my wife and to marry my secretary. And I feel it as if God was speaking right to me. And he was sharing all this in the context of wanting to join the church. And I listened to him and I said, is this your secretary? And he said, yeah. I said, buddy, I love you, but I said, your feelings are lying to you. God would never say something that's contrary to his word. He calls it adultery. He would never give his thumbs up to adultery. You're conning yourself, you're lying to yourself, and you're bringing destruction on your family. I said, I can't bring you into membership, and what I call you to do is really think about this and turn your life back to God. You think that was popular? In our world today, we live in a world that says, if I feel it, therefore it must be true. Why? Feelings lie to us all the time. Why do we think that we're all of a sudden the authority on what is true and what's not true? God's provided us some objective protections. If not, think back to when you were a teenager and your parents had these rules. If you felt that they were unfair, you could just go do them. How many parents would be cool with that? None. How many kids would be cool with that? All of them, right? That's the world we live in right now. So always test an impression. Because if you get some feeling, even if it's a strong feeling, it's got to match what God has said. God will never lie to you. He gives us this word to speak to us and to guide us and to protect us as we go through this life. And let me give you this last one. God speaks also through pain. Any of you acquainted with this way? Why does he often use pain? Because we don't often change when we see the light. I wish we would. We change when we feel the heat. And why is that? Because none of us really like to change, and we fear actually sometimes what the change will bring onto our life. We don't know what we'll be like. We'll be different, and we don't know if it will be better. We fear change, and we don't change until the pain becomes greater than the fear that we're experiencing in our life at any given moment. And when the pain actually becomes greater than the fear, then that's the times that we change in life. God is so interested in speaking with you. He's so interested in having a personal relationship with you, loving you, you loving him, being able to talk about everything as you go through life, that sometimes he even resorts to allowing pain in your life to get your attention. Proverbs 20, verse 30, it says, sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. Every one of you know this by experience. Not all pain is God speaking to you. Not every little hurt, ache, and pain is from God. But some of it is. There was a guy, he's an amazing athlete, high school athlete. He was getting D1 offers, and about mid-season, or actually a few games before the end of the season, he got hurt. And he was in the hospital, and some discs had gone out, and he was just kind of mourning the loss of some of these D1 offers. And I asked him in the midst of all that, I said, do you know why this happened to you? He goes, yeah. I said, what do you mean, yeah? He goes, well, I've been praying about it. He goes, I think God needed to bring me flat on my back so I'd finally look back up to him. The truth is, he kind of walked away from God his senior year, and he knew he wasn't doing the right stuff. But he was convinced in that moment that God was using that whole experience to bring him back to him. Have you ever had a similar experience where God had just to hit you over the head with a 2x4 so that you would look back at him, that you would remember him, that you remember that he's got you, that you remember not to be so dumb and turn from your sin, any of those things? Sometimes God uses pain because he loves you. He doesn't cause pain, but he is a master at using some of those painful experiences in our lives to bring us back to him. And he does it because he loves us. Somebody wrote, "I used to wander off until you punished me. Now I closely follow all you say. The punishment you gave me was the best thing that could have happened to me, for it taught me to pay attention to your laws." Pain is just one of those things that gets our attention. Kind of our hearing aid for God, if you will. He whispers to us in our pleasures, but he shouts to us in our pain. It's God's megaphone to us. And so when you're hurting, God's just up there saying, "Guys, I got you. I'm here. Just call out to me. I've got you. I'm with you. I will give you strength to get through this. I will give you peace in the midst of this storm. I will give you hope knowing that I've got you, and will give you peace to get you to the other side. Trust me in this. I'm here." And sometimes in those moments, we actually look back up, and we see him calling, and it changes everything. Pain is often God's way of getting your attention. I think that's a lot of what church is about, isn't it? Not the pain, but in helping people hear God's voice. Because when you hear God speak, I mean really speak in your heart, you are changed. Transformation happens. But nobody has changed that much, have their life turned around so radically, unless there is a power in them that is greater than themselves. And that only happens when you come in relationship with Jesus. Hebrews 3:15 says, "Today if you hear God's voice speaking to you, do not harden your heart against him." My prayer is no matter how long you've been ignoring God, and that's probably not true of anybody here, but no matter how long you've been ignoring God, that you would hear these truths today, that God still loves you, that he's got you as you're going through this crazy world, that he wants to have a relationship with you, that you're forgiven of everything that you've done, that he cares about your life. Because hear those messages. Write them down if you forget. But God's got you as you're going through this world. And he just wants a chance to continue to share that with you as you go through this life. So my encouragement, spend some time with him this year. Write him into your schedule. Start with 5 minutes and then go to 10 if you got 5 minutes down. But give him a chance to talk to you and encourage you and strengthen you and forgive you on a regular basis. And that's my prayer. So I pray that in the name of Jesus and all God's people said, amen. Let me pray. God, we love you so much, you know, and we hear a message like this and we're like, we know, we get so busy, we get so preoccupied, we get distracted. It seems like everything else kind of takes a priority over spending time with you. We get excited sometimes on Sunday when we're in our small groups, when we hear a message that somehow connects, but it doesn't always go to the next day or the next day, and we find ourselves just as fearful or struggling like we were the day before. So my prayer today, Lord, is send your spirit out to us in power and strengthen us and remind us and give us the ability to spend more time with you so that we don't forget, so that we can always remember, so that we experience as a result more peace and strength and hope and joy as we go through this life. Because life is hard right now. And we need more of you in our lives. And so I pray that today in Jesus' name and all God's people said, amen.